I wanted to tell you some news. It's sort of sad, but we don't sorrow as those who have no hope. A wonderful friend of mine and someone that was a part of our fellow laborers of Ohio. Nancy and I did a training program when we were in Ohio. It was called Fellow Laborers of Ohio. And, one of the people, there was a couple, Richard and Patsy Watkins. And Richard fairly recently published this book, God is Great, Big, and Wonderful. You know, great, big, wonderful God, right? Taste and see that God is good. And I've been very inspired by this book, and I should have found out how to get it. Let me see. I don't have a...
It's on Amazon.
It's on Amazon?
Yeah.
Okay. It's on Amazon. So you can get it right out of the jungle. Amazon jungle. Okay, well, anyway. But, yeah, this book is very wonderful, very uplifting, very positive. It will help you it'll help you have a believing mindset. You know, and that's what we need as believers. We need a mindset of believing, and the believing is to be believing God's word. You know, there are people that believe a lot of things, you know, and then there are people that don't believe much of anything. But last week I shared with you how Christians are believers. As Christians, we should have a positive believing mindset. And that means that, you know, you carry your life, your manner of living, the way you conduct your life is based on believing. If you have a positive believing mindset, you will not be shaken when things go wrong around you. And hey, if things go wrong, as they always will, and the road you're treading seems all uphill, go to the Word. I used to know the whole poem, but not anymore. But I wanted to share some truths with you about believing that I believe we all need to understand. And first of all, is that believing is a law. It's just like gravity. You drop this book, it's going to fall every time. Every time. Believing is like that. Believing is a law. That's why it's called the law of believing. It works in business. I've seen it work in business. It works in negotiations. It works in sales. It works in sports. You know, if you go into a situation with a positive believing attitude, you are much more likely to succeed than if you go into any situation with a hesitant, unbelieving, unconfident, you know. Confidence, trust, and believing are all on the positive side, and we want to have our lives built on that. But what you believe, okay, yes, believe, but what you believe is the significant thing that you want to, I want to help you understand today. You all probably all recognize this, but I want to emphasize it because I don't think it's possible for us to have too much believing. I don't think we will ever outbelieve God. You know, I don't believe, as wonderful as we may be, we'll ever outbelieve the Lord Jesus Christ, who believed God would raise him from the dead. And so he willingly laid down his life for us. You know, think about that. Think about that. Well, in 3 days, you're going to be dead. You know, and then you're going to be dead for 3 days and three nights. And, you know, or you know, I guess he knew before 3 days before. But, you know, I'm just using that as an example. You know, you're going to be dead here pretty soon. And you're going to get all beat up, like it says in the Old Testament. You know, your visage marred more than any man, all that kind of stuff. The Lord Jesus Christ believed God. He believed God. What a tremendous example. So everyone believes something. Everyone believes something. And the law of believing works for anyone who believes without doubting. It works effectually for those who believe God's word. Remember, I shared the difference in effectual and effective. Effective gets results. It's terrific. Effectual gets the desired results. So doubt, worry, and fear defeat believing. Positive believing gets positive results. Negative believing gets negative results. Such a great truth. So take your Bibles, please, and go to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Believing, a person can have believing regarding something that is not true or something that is not available. Okay, think about that. I forget, there was this whole movement in the Christian church, I think it was like in the 40s and 50s, about it didn't matter what you believed, just so you believe something. You know, and it was this whole thing in the Christian church that it doesn't matter what you believe. It just matters that you believe something. That is not true. It matters what you believe. It matters what you believe. What a person believes is important. Everyone believes something. Why not believe what the Word says? Okay, Acts 17. There's a wonderful figure of speech in here. Verse 31, Acts 17, 31. It says, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man, Jesus Christ, whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance. Given what? Assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Assurance. Assurance. Well, this word assurance, I believe this is the only place that the word pistis is translated assurance. But it's the word pistis that's usually translated either believing or faith. It's a noun. And because of the connotations of the word faith, it's much better when you see the word faith in the Bible to say believing. Believing. You know, what we believe is important. This word faith is a figure of speech called metonymy. And I should have brought my magnifying glass. I made these notes when I was younger. Okay. In this crowd, you got to watch what you say. Okay. Metonymy. It's where one noun is put for another noun associated with it. Believing here is put for that which believing rests upon. The foundation of believing. The foundation for believing, or what is to be believed. Thank you. I hope I won't need it again, but keep it handy. You never know these days. You know, so metonymy, one word is used for another word or a concept here. In this case, the concept is that it's believing. It says that he hath given believing unto all men. I think this was the basis of that group that says it doesn't matter what you believe, just so you believe something. Well, it's used as a figure of speech, believing the right way. He's given what we are to believe. He's not given us believing. He's given us what we are to believe. That is how this figure of speech is used and understood. It's the right way of believing. You can believe rightly or you can believe wrongly. You know, some people believe in different religions and different things. But just because you believe it, don't make it so. God's word is so. And so what you want to do is believe God's word. When you believe God's word, you get the results that God wants you to get. Jesus Christ came that we might have life and that we might have it how? More abundantly. If we believe regarding Jesus Christ correctly, then we have this more than abundant life available to us. If we don't, we got consequences. We believe something else, instead of getting results, we get consequences. Look at Acts 13. Acts chapter 13. Oh, I was going to start with 32, but look, or 38. Let's look at 32. And we declare unto you glad tidings. Glad tidings is the gospel. Glad tidings of great things, the gospel. How that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto their children. God fulfilled the promise that he made to the fathers unto the children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. This is talking about begetting from the dead, the resurrection. God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. This is the foundation for our believing. Remember Romans 10, 9 and 10? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, Jesus is Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. Saved. And as concerning that he raised him from the dead, now no more to return to corruption. His body did not corrupt, and his body will never corrupt. You know, now he's got what the Bible calls a spiritual body. It was sown a natural body. It was raised a spiritual body. A spiritual body that, pretty nifty. He could be in one place one moment and somewhere else the next. The disciples were behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. He went right in the midst of them, right into their presence, without knocking or unlocking the door or whatever else. No more to return to corruption. He said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep. He died. Like Richard Watkins, he died. He's asleep awaiting the return. When Christ comes back, we'll see him. We'll be there. And was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. David's body decayed. You know, I don't even know if, you know, I don't know how long it takes for bones to decay or whatever, but, you know, he may not even be a skeleton anymore. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, in the grave, and he was raised. His body didn't have time to corrupt. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all. And the word things is in italics. That means there's no corresponding word there. It was added by the translators. By him, all that believe are justified from all. How much?
All.
What about? No. All means what?
All.
What you talking about, right? From which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Okay? So, justified. We are justified. Justified means acquitted in the courtroom for all your sins. You know, you go, you stand before the judge. He said, oh my gosh, you did this. But wait, acquitted. You know, he's got one of those stamps, rubber stamps, that says acquitted on it. You did this. You went down the wrong street with the wrong girl, or whatever. Acquitted. You know, you told the boss one thing and did something else. Acquitted. You know, all your sins. Man, what a terrific thing that God accomplished. Look at 2 Timothy. This verse we will never wear out. 2 Timothy. Chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy 3:16. I mean 1 Timothy. That's not good. Okay. It says, all Scripture. How much?
All
Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and we know it, that is in the Greek, theopneustos, which means God breathed. It's a figure of speech where breathing is used for something associated with it, which is speaking. In order to speak, I have to breathe in. If I don't breathe in, I'm not going to be able to speak. I'm going to run out of air. So God breathed means God spoke. God spoke his word. God breathed out his word, the words of his word. Peter says, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. God told them what to write, and they wrote it. All Scripture is God-breathed and is what? Profitable. Two things. It's God-breathed and it's profitable. This is not an old fogey book. This is the Word of God. It's called the Word of Life. This is called truth. Truth you can depend on. Facts come and go. Truth you can depend on. So it's profitable for doctrine. Doctrine teaches you how to believe rightly. Notice that believe is in there. How to believe rightly. What you are to believe so you can believe the right way. Reproof points out the places where you're not believing rightly. And correction gives you what you need to know to get back to right believing. And all of this is instruction in righteousness. That terrific. Instruction in righteousness. Okay, look at Hosea 4. Hosea chapter 4. That's the one. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. I got it marked in here so I can find it quickly. I knew I was going there, right? So I put my ribbon in there. Okay, you're all familiar with this verse, but I want to maybe broaden our understanding. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, right? For lack of knowledge. If you know what you are to believe and you believe it, are you going to be destroyed?
No.
Lack of knowledge. You've got to know. Remember it says in Romans 1:17 or 10:17, it says faith or believing comes by hearing, and hearing by what?
The word of God.
The word of God. You've got to hear the word of God or you won't be able to receive the word of God. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Why do people lack knowledge? Well, maybe they've never heard. You know, there's some people that have never heard, so they lack knowledge. But then there's some people that have heard, but they haven't heard quite enough, you know, to believe. They haven't heard quite enough to accept it. And then there's some that have heard it, and yet they reject it. Those are the three different kinds of unbelief. Unbelief gets no results, or should we say negative results, or should we say consequences? You know, believing gets positive results, positive believing. So the lack of knowledge is that they haven't heard the word, they haven't heard at all, or they haven't heard enough to believe, or they've heard it and they refuse to believe. Those are the three different categories. Well, how do we go about getting this knowledge of God? How do we go about it? Well, I think Proverbs chapter 2 gives us a good illustration of that, a good way of looking at that. How do we find out? You know, boy, oh boy. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words," whose words? God's words. "If thou wilt receive my words," this is conditional, "and hide my commandments with thee," memorize it, put it in your heart, make the information your own, "so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom." You know, there's that commercial that was pretty good about when so-and-so speaks. It was about investments. E.F. Hutton. When E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. Yep. Well, we should be, when God speaks, which he has spoken in his word, we what? Listen. We listen. "So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom." Wisdom is knowledge properly applied. You know, the wisdom of this world is knowledge improperly applied. But the wisdom of God is knowledge properly applied. But you can't apply something you don't know. That's why we want to know, right? "And apply thine heart to understanding." You know, think about it. Apply your heart. Use your thinking. Use your mental capacity to understanding. The heart is the seat of the personal life, or the heart of the spiritual life. You know, it's like when you can hear, and that's all well and good, but if you don't remember it, it isn't in your heart. You know, if you don't grasp the concept of it and remember that and hold it in your memory, then you haven't gotten it into your heart. "Apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge," knowledge, I want to have knowledge, "and liftest up thy voice for understanding. Yea, if thou seeker as for silver," your paycheck, you know. Boy, oh boy, if you go to get your paycheck and they haven't run the checks yet, or whatever, why, that's bad. You got a deadline or something, you know. Well, you know, go after it like silver, and search for her as for hid treasures. You know, people spend lots of money trying to find an old broken down ship that went down off the coast of whoever or whatever. You know, and there's got to be lots of treasure in there. And so they, you know, they seek it, right? They search for it. They search for treasure. God's word is precious. God's words are pure words. Remember all that stuff? Wow. Then shalt thou understand. Then, all this is if. If you go for it, if you apply yourself to it, if you search for it, if you put it in your heart, then thou shalt understand the reverence, the word fear is reverence of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. Then you won't be destroyed for lack of knowledge. Okay. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Aha! Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Yeah. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He's a buckler. It's a buckler is a pointed part on a shield. A shield is protection, but that pointed part on there is an offensive weapon. He's a buckler on the shield. He's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Wow, you want God on your side?
Yes.
Then get on God's side. Then he will be. He keeps the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity and every good path. There needs to be an understanding of equity in our country today. Look at Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Going to start here in verse 1. Acts chapter 3. Verse 1, it says, Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, about 3 p.m., 3 in the afternoon. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Now this is there's a great lesson here. How often was he brought there?
Daily.
This is shortly after the death, resurrection, ascension, day of Pentecost. So if he was there daily, he was there when Jesus Christ walked in. Why didn't Jesus Christ minister to him? Because no revelation. God didn't tell him to minister to him. If God had said, this lame man, minister to this lame man, you know what Jesus Christ would have done? He'd have ministered to him, the guy had gotten healed. God doesn't play around. But it wasn't available because that man evidently wasn't quite ready to receive. But think about it. If he was there daily, he was there on the day of Pentecost. When this group of 12 started speaking in tongues. And there the tongues of fire came down from heaven. You know, and there was a sound of a rushing mighty wind filled all the house. You know, he was there at the gate, but don't you think news of that made it out to the gate?
Yeah.
You know, he was there at the gate. Other things had happened, great, wonderful things. Then about 3,000 were added that day of Pentecost. About 3,000 started speaking in tongues. And, you know, he knew that Peter and John were among that group. I mean, you know, he wasn't blind. He saw them coming in and out. You know, a lot of things that you think about with this. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple asking alms. Now, this is a practice in the East where someone who had a need would sit and ask for alms. And they would, you know, he'd ask for money, but it wasn't just for money that he was asking for. He was asking for his healing, his deliverance. They believed that if a man of God walked by, that man of God could minister to them and they could be healed. But here was a guy that was lame from his birth. He never walked. He never went through the crawl. Remember, to learn to walk, you got to go through the crawling stage first, you know. And that strengthens those muscles, and, you know, you start to get some balance, and you get, you know, the motion that you're going to need for walking, you know. But you're not walking yet. Well, this guy had never walked. Never walked. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us. Look on us." And he, you know, look on us. It's not like, look at us. It was like, you know, you want deliverance. Look on us. Pay attention. Look at us. Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting. The expectation of believing is something very important for us to develop in our lives. We expect God to fulfill his word when we believe. We claim God's word when we believe. We have every right to. You know, the expectation, expecting to receive, and this word is lambano, receive into manifestation something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, what did he have? He had the gift of Holy Spirit, power from on high. Give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Who are you kidding? I can't rise up and walk. I'm lame. I haven't even crawled ever. Rise up and walk? I don't even really understand the concept. I see other people doing it. But from birth, you know, if you put yourself in that man's shoes, and this is a moment of decision. You know, we all have those moments of decision. Are we going to believe God's word? Are we going to take God at his word? Are we going to walk out on God's word? This guy literally walked out on God's word. He believed and he received. And he, Peter, took him by the right hand. Why did Peter do that? Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Why did he say, "Look on us"? Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, inspired utterance by revelation. You know, why did he address the guy at all? Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. And then when this guy got up, it's an illustration of believing, miracles, and healing. It was instantaneous, so it's a miracle. These are all manifestations of the Holy Spirit. These are all manifestations of the Holy Spirit that are available to each one of us. Wow. Okay. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received what? Strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Okay, now, is this, you know, something that could happen today? Doesn't it? This brings us to a wonderful truth from God's word. If something is available, you can claim it by believing. But sometimes things aren't available. And for whatever reasons, up until that day, it was not available for him to be healed. He didn't have the believing. He didn't, you know, whatever it wasn't available. When it was available, God told Peter acted as God told him, and this man got deliverance. So there's a great truth from the word on how to receive from God. Okay, how to receive from God. The first thing you have to do is admit you have a need. I don't have any needs. I'm just fine. You know. Wait a minute. You know. Recognize God has the solution to your need. God has the solution to your need. So you know, in our day and time, sometimes it might be through some medical procedure. But still, God, all healing comes from God. God's behind it all. The body heals itself. Why? Because God made it that way. So, first of all, you admit you've got a need. Secondly, you recognize that God has the answer. God has the solution. Then you seek the answer in God's Word. You know, you seek the answer. What is God's will? You find from God's Word, what is God's will? You find the promise of God that applies to your need. God promises to supply all of our need. Remember? Philippians 4:19. He promises to supply all of our need. He does not promise to supply our greed. He does not promise to provide our want. But if you get your want lined up with your need, you want to get delivered. That's a need. You recognize that. Then you go to God's Word, you find the promise of God that applies. You claim God's promise by the action of believing, without doubt. You know, it's like the guy said, well, you know, I prayed and I thought I was going to get believed, but I really didn't think it was going to work. Well, hey, guess what? If you think it ain't going to work, that's called doubt. Doubt. If you doubt, I can tell you, it's not going to work. And you receive your needed results. Look at John 14. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Verse 10. This is the practical application of God's Word that we're talking about here. Believing equals receiving. John 14, verse 10, it says, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me?" This is Jesus Christ speaking. "The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake," that you've seen him do the works. You know, when we believe and we get results, it's terrific stuff, because God is the one that does the works. You know, it's just like God was in Jesus Christ, God is in us. In us, it's called God in Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, we've got that on the inside because we have that new spirit life, that new man, power from on high. Wow, what a terrific thing that is. You betcha. You betcha. Verily, verse 12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also." That's why Peter and John knew they could do that. They were with Jesus Christ. They saw him do it. They knew then they had the Spirit of God in Christ in them. So what did they do? The works. They did the works. "And greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father." How could you do a greater work than like raising Lazarus from the dead? How could you do a greater work than healing the man born blind? You know, how about Oh gosh, there's so many examples, so many miracles, signs, wonders that Jesus Christ did, and they watched. And then Jesus Christ said to them, "The works that I do, ye shall do also." Jesus Christ is saying to us, "The works that I do, ye shall do also, and greater works." You know what the greater works are? Yeah. It wasn't available for Jesus Christ to get anyone born again because he had not yet paid the price. When he paid the price, it was possible then for people to get born again. But we are given the ministry of reconciliation, bringing men back to God and women. We are given this ministry of reconciliation. We then speak in Christ's stead, be you reconciled unto God. What a terrific thing. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. You recognize the need. Okay. You find in the Word where God promises to take care of that need. You believe that Word. You say it. You believe it. And God brings it to pass. And it's a matter of having your need and want in balance. And then God's ability equals His willingness. What God is willing to do, He's able to do. And what He's able to do, He's willing to do. We just have to get in there and ask. We have to walk with Him and recognize these great truths in His Word and carry out His Word in our day and time like they did in the first century. So, Heavenly Father, again, we're so thankful for Your grace, Your mercy, and love. We're so thankful for all that You have provided for us. And it's so humbling that You've put within us this power that we can pray for people and they get delivered, and we can walk and talk with You and hear from You and know that You are a living reality, and we have You, God in Christ in us, the hope of glory. What a terrific thing. What a terrific thing to know that we'll see our brothers and sisters who've fallen asleep in the future. And we have the joy and privilege of adding some more people that we can continue to reach out with Your Word and teach them the right way of believing so they too can get the right results that You promised in Your Word. And we thank You and praise You for all that You have done and will do for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.